This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Lots to get to this hour on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you coming up in about 30 minutes. VSiN's own, as well as the VP of operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, Mike Palm, going to join us for the final half hour of the show. Get into a lot of Circa Survivor talk. We got Palm's pressing three. It's also a no way, no doubt day. And Michael, we got to start off this hour because we've had a lot of news. We've had injuries. We've had contracts. We have a lot of stuff going on. I want to know what's the most impactful of the day for you? What's on Michael's mind today?
Well, what hit me this morning is when I saw that Matt Milano got hurt yesterday. And then I read the news this morning that he suffered a torn bicep and he's out for extended periods of time and who knows how long. But to me, this is so significant for Buffalo because he is their quarterback of the defense. They're not as good as team when he doesn't play. And so now, you know, Terrell Bernard is a good player. He's an undersized guy. Bedford's an undersized guy. Milano got everybody lined up. They had to play AJ Klein there last year to play on defense because they needed that someone who knew the system, who knew the checks. A lot of stuff that happens with McDermott is being checked. Defensive calls, adjustments, communication. So now add in Milano's going to miss the game. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're going to not have Poyer. They're not going to have Micah High. So now three of the biggest leaders of your defense are gone. It's going to be a hard game against Arizona. I would urge people not to take the Bills in that game. Yeah. I really would, because I'm not saying the Bills won't win the game, but I think you're going to sweat it out more than you want to.
And Milano, at least per Adam Schefter, with this torn bicep, has the hope of returning later on this season. But I mean, it's much later, reportedly, possibly in December. But with that in mind, Michael, not only just that initial game, but Matt Milano's impact big picture for this Buffalo Bills team. A lot of people have talked about the Bills still being in that window as a contender for a Super Bowl. They're a 15-1 shot to win it all. They're 8-1 in the conference. They're a favorite in their division still, despite some teams trying to nip at their heels. How do you view Buffalo big picture this season?
Well, they have Josh Allen. Their window's never going to close. They have Josh Allen. He's big. He's strong. He's tough. He rushed for 15 touchdowns last year, made way too many mistakes. We all know that, yeah. But they have the best quarterback. Clearly, he is. He's one of the best. Other than Mahomes, there's no one better. So they have him. That always gives you a chance. But what they've always had is a systematic approach. Get the lead, run the ball. Last year, they're going to run the ball. Samich was really good when we had him on in the last hour where he talked about how he loves Dalton Kincaid over the 750. This is a team that's no longer going to be an 11 personnel team. They're going to be a 12. Two tight ends are going to be on the field all the time. They're going to try to run James Cook, who's one of their best players, assuming he can hold on to the football, which is critical. So I think they're going to be good. I'm worried about their defense because if they get in a rug and slug kind of game. Now, Arizona, for all the bad things they had happen to them last year, James Conner was great. Mm-hmm. He could run the football effectively. And Drew Petzek did a really good job of designing runs and getting them going. Murray hasn't proven he can throw the ball down the field. But this is a team that's going to be a little bit dangerous, I think, for Buffalo, especially – because of the communication and because of all the newness to their defense.
The Cardinals getting 6.5 points in that spot, and it is -115, the juice on that. So paying a little bit more with things leaning that direction. Maybe it could get down to 6, total 48 right now, that game in Buffalo week 1. And about the defense, like the leadership core, to your point, gone. Von Miller is a guy who was brought in for that standpoint, right? To be that veteran voice, a guy who's played in Super Bowls, been a Super Bowl MVP, but the production has not been there. Producer Elliot and I were joking last year, 12 games, $7 million cap hit for Von Miller, made 3 tackles. So this guy got paid $2.3 million per tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this has been a problem, right? I mean, they signed him, and they doubled down on the contract. They knew they couldn't get rid of him. They would have gotten rid of him this year, but they doubled down. They've got so much cap charges. I think this is going to be a rebuilding or remodeling year for Buffalo. Yeah. I'm not saying they can't compete for a title, but I think it's going to be more of a remodel. They've got so much cap debt because of the Diggs trade, because of the Tre'Vious White getting him out of there. And I think eventually they're going to have to get Miller out of there.
So full, you know, retooling for Buffalo, full rebuild for another team in the division, the New England Patriots in year one under Gerard Mayo. They kick off week two of the preseason today against the Philadelphia Eagles. They opened as a 2-point underdog. They're now up to a 3-point favorite in that game coming up tonight. Total 35. When we had Mike Somich on a little bit earlier, he said he likes the Patriots half game and full time at a nice plus money price. Somich's picks, by the way, all of our show hosts, experts, analysts, every pick, every single day is available when you are a VSiN.com subscriber. So VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can get access to everything we do here at VSiN each and every day. Now through the Super Bowl, only $175. So I would get in there while you can to make sure you have all of those selections. But Eagles Patriots tonight. We also have a couple other updates in these preseason week two notables. Daniel Jones is expected to get some playing time for the first time since his injury last year against the Texans. Russell Wilson is back from that calf injury. Will we see him on the field for the Steelers this weekend? And the Raiders quarterback competition is supposed to come to a close this week. You like Gardner Minshew, but AP has this love and loyalty for Aiden O'Connell. I'm very curious to see if the game this weekend really will have an impact on that. Like, if we see a bad performance from Gardner Minshew, does Aiden end up getting the look? How much do you think this game in week two specifically will lead into who gets that job?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with how the practices have gone, really, because the games can be, you know, a little bit picky, you know, guy drops a ball, next thing you know, an interception, all those things. So I think the practices are more important. And I get the sense in talking to people, and the betting odds shift this number too, is that Minshew gives him a little bit of a veteran presence out there. They signed him. Tom Telesco signed Minshew. I mean, there was really no one on the coaching side that even knew they were signing Minshew. So this is Telesco's guy. He wanted him to be the starter. But I think they're going to end up playing both quarterbacks all year. Whoever gets the starting job here will not be the starter come to January the 1st.
Ooh, I like that. Lock it down. Good stuff there. The Raiders, 6.5-point favorite in this game against the Cowboys coming up on Saturday. Total 39. What are your expectations for Daniel Jones in his first action here? I know it's just preseason, but thoughts?
Well, he should be good. I mean, Daniel Jones should be really good in preseason. It's preseason. It's cover one. It's cover three. Maybe Tampa too. You know, I think the bigger question is, what's this giant offensive line going to look like? What are they going to be doing? How are they going to be handling it? You know, is Evan Neal? Now, I'm told they put Evan Neal off the PUP, but he still hasn't practiced yet. Mm-hmm. So is he going to be ready? You know, that's the big question for the Giants. All offseason, all we heard about was how they have to improve the offensive line. Well, now they have the right side of the Raider offensive line in Illuminor and Van Roten. So we'll see. I think to me, that's going to be the key. What's this line look like? What's Singletary look like? I don't think we'll see Chase any longer in the preseason because he had that foot injury that they say isn't bad, and it's probably not, but you don't want to risk it any further.
Yeah, getting some chemistry and just good what's the word I'm looking for? Just togetherness for that offensive line for the Giants, like, is going to be critical. We're a decade into them trying to rebuild that offensive line, and they've not been able to put a good one together. It's crazy. Despite how much they've tried to invest in it in the draft as well, they just can't develop for whatever reason. Or is it talent or development? Like, what is it?
A little bit of both, Stormy. And I just want all Giant fans to stop yelling at me. Because your team is 7-31 against the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
When you get better than that, please come and talk to me.
Yes.
All right. Like, I just gotta rest my case. You're 7-31 against the Eagles and the Cowboys combined. I have to break this news to you. You have to beat those teams in order to win the division, which you have not won in 10 years. You got to go back to 2011, the last time the New York Football Giants won the division. And they did that at 9-7. So, like, can we stop? Like, can we just stop this nonsense that they're on the right track? They haven't been on the right track. They haven't even been on the wrong track. They've been on the disaster track.
They had one respectable season 2 years ago, and that's about it. And the schedule that they played was significantly easier. Yep.
In which they didn't beat the Cowboys or the Giants in that respectable season.
I was going to say Giants fans can be as mad as they want, Michael. But at the end of the day, listen back to what Michael just said. Were there any lies detected? I think not.
Yeah.
Giants, by the way, this week in preseason, they're getting 2.5 points against the Texans, total 39.5. I do want to get your thoughts where you sit right now on the quarterback battle in Pittsburgh as well. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. We saw Justin Fields have some mistakes. The quarterback center exchange obviously didn't go to plan. Had a couple sacks taken as well. In what felt like a golden opportunity, it was a little bit squandered for Justin Fields in preseason week one. Russell Wilson has been in pole position. I think that continues. But how do you see things shaking out here in Pittsburgh?
I still think it's Wilson's job. I don't think Mike's going to take the job away from him because he had a bad calf and he's missed some time. Now, I'm not there at the practices. I don't know. But for me, I would think that it's Russell's job because, look, Justin Fields had two missed snaps, struggled. And it hasn't been perfect for him. So, you know, I think the veteran's going to get the win here. But again, I think both quarterbacks could play.
With Russ specifically, I feel like it's, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I just feel like it's so much easier to start with Russ and go to Justin Fields later if you want to, like, make that a short leash, fine, that's on you, than it is starting out the season with Justin Fields and then going to Russell Wilson. Whether that's a personality dynamic or a veteran status dynamic, I think that'll be the easiest course of action.
Right. And I think that's a great point, Stormy, because what you've done all offseason is build a team around Russell to give him a chance to be the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. And if you snatch that away in week one because the guy didn't have a chance to compete, then it's hard to get that back when he comes in off the bench. Right. So let him unlead himself. Don't you unlead him. And I think that's the important thing.
Especially when you think about just Russell's personality in general. And I know we're not trying to cater to diva quarterback. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I think from a body language, from a leadership standpoint, if you're Mike Tomlin, you want to make things make the most sense as you can for your locker room. Okay, we're going to hit the break when we come back. No way or no doubt you won't want to miss it. We're just getting started here in hour two.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Let's get into it. Yesterday, Michael, you listed your top five coaches with the most pressure to win now. Three of them, coincidentally, are all coaching in the same division. So, no way or no doubt, at least one NFC East head coach will be fired mid-season this year. What do you think?
Mid-season, you know, it's not Jerry. Let's go through it. It's not Jerry Jones's style to go interim. And who would he hire to replace Mike on the staff? Mike Zimmer? Nah, I don't think so. Mm. Okay. So that's one. All right. Philadelphia, no chance. They're gonna be too good to fire. It's gonna be based on the ending of the season, not what the middle of the season looks like. It's the only one would be the Giants, and they have an early bye after week six, so they're gonna have to make some progress. But again, who would they hire on their staff? You know, I mean, John Maris hired since Tom Coughlin, he's hired Ben McAdoo, he's hired Pat Shermer, he's hired Joe Judge and now Brian Daboll. I mean, they're going to need some time to think this over before they make a quick decision.
Well, especially midway through year three, too, you think that you might give them a little bit more of a chance to see what they could do, especially as you're trying to build that roster together. So I'm with you. I think no way, but these are coaches definitely who are looking over their shoulder about whether or not they're going to have a job at season's end. Now, I think Micah Parsons, Michael, might be a fan of the Lombardi line because when he was asked about CeeDee Lamb's contract this week, he said, no doubt he will be on the field for the Cowboys week one. No way or no doubt do you agree, Michael, that CeeDee Lamb will play for the Cowboys in the opener?
I agree he's going to be on the team after week one. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, look, he's not going to miss a game check. He's not going to, you know, this is all just posturing. Jerry says that they're working diligently towards an agreement, and I believe it. So, yeah, I think there's no doubt he'll be there.
I think the word he used at least yesterday was conscientiously. So go Jerry. I'm a big fan. Browns are a 2-point favorite in that season opener against the Cowboys. Total 44. Let's stick with this theme, though. No way or no doubt, the fate of Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy are tied together after this season.
No, they're not tied together at all. I mean, they're going to be separate entities. Even though Mike has done a tremendous job of coaching Dak and getting him exactly to have the best season that he could ever have, but I don't think they're tied together at all. I think that Jerry will make an independent decision on Mike. I think Jerry's made a decision on Mike. I think this is one of those situations, Stormy, where Jerry's made a decision. Mike's got to prove him out of the decision. That game, people don't realize, I wrote about it. I've talked to a lot of people about this. That game against Green Bay, when you study the tape and you look at it after 7 months and objectively sit there and watch it, you realize how poor of an effort Dallas gave. And Jerry's going to want to see if Mike can work himself out of that. And it looked like, these are not my words or somebody else's, it looked like they were out partying the night before the game. So McCarthy isn't going to, he's fighting to prove he should keep his job. He's not fighting for his job.
Yeah, they look slow, lethargic, didn't know what they were doing. And so I agree on the surface with everything that you said. But I will add, I do think it's entirely possible, Michael, that Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott could both not be with the Dallas Cowboys next year, whether that be Mike McCarthy getting let go and Dak Prescott having the opportunity as a free agent with the things that he has built into his contract and the no franchise tag, that he's going to have the opportunity to have the pick of the litter wherever he wants to go. So very possible.
But Jerry can always, I mean, Jerry can pay what he can pay. Does he want to go be the quarterback of the Saints for the team $90 million over the cap? I don't know. Does he want to come out to Las Vegas and be the quarterback of the Raiders? I don't know. You know, Dallas is a tax-free state. Dallas is America's team still gaining a lot of attention. I just don't see it as a smart play. Now, if Jerry says, I'm not signing you, okay, now you got to go find yourself a deal.
Yeah. Dak's going to get paid no matter what. We know that.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see still where that will be. And if Jerry can keep on pulling at those heartstrings, like, don't you want to have that star on your helmet and get all those other endorsements that you get around here as well? Let's go to San Francisco. No way or no doubt, Michael, if the 49ers do sign Brandon Ayuk to an extension, Deebo Samuel's out next season.
Yeah, I no doubt that he is out. I think, to me, Deebo's $17 million unguaranteed. Now, I don't think they'll just kick him to the curb. I think they'll try to do something reasonable. But is the thought of paying him $25 million, then paying $28 million for Ayuk, if that's what they pay, to go along with paying Christian McCaffrey all the money, I just don't see that. I think he would be the one guy to get squeezed out.
Michael, if we do hear a Brandon Ayuk deal come through with the San Francisco 49ers, do you have a sense of what that number would be?
I think it's going to be right at $28 million. I don't think it gets to 30. I think that's been the stumbling block. He wants to be over 30, and I think it's not going to get there.
Missed opportunity now, with the Patriots.
It was over 30 at the Patriots, like you said. But 30. He didn't want that deal.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. Like I said, he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too, that he can make as much money as possible and still play on a good team. Well, I'm sorry, Brandon. The 49ers aren't going to offer you $32 million. So let's see if we can work out a deal. But again, I don't even know why I brought this topic up, Michael. We're done. We're not talking about Brandon Ayuk anymore. I know, it's my own fault. I wish we weren't talking about the Jets anymore, but we can't help it because every week there's some new development. This week we learned that Hassan Reddick, who is yet to step on the field for the Jets, after being traded for by the Eagles, is now requesting a trade elsewhere because they can't get a contract done, even though the team knew that he wanted a contract regardless. No way or no doubt, Hassan Reddick will play this season with the Jets. Is this going to happen? How's this going to go down?
I think there's no doubt. Nobody's going to trade for the problem. Like, we're acting as if he's some kind of celebrity. Nobody is going to trade for the problem. So for me, I would say, you know, no doubt he'll play for the Jets this year.
And I mean, Joe Douglas said they're not trading him anyways, like he came out and put that statement out immediately after he requested the trade. But I like the way you put it, that he's got a reputation now here a little bit that who wants to just add that into their own list of issues that they already have with their franchise. Let's go to college football here quickly. No way or no doubt, this year's college football champ, so the national champion, winner of it all, is ranked in the top five of the AP preseason poll. What do you think?
I think there's no doubt they are. I think that's right. I think, you know, Oregon, I think Georgia, I think the quality of the teams in college, you rarely are overlooked. Now, look, we know Washington came out of nowhere, but they had Michael Penix. But I think, to me, there's no doubt that the best players in college they're ranked already where they need to be. And we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, the AP top 25 for the preseason came out earlier this week. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama rounds out the top five. The stat that we gave you earlier this week as well from Action Network's Brett McMurphy is that over the last, I want to say it was 21 years, the national champion has come out of the preseason top seven every year, but the two exceptions were Florida State when they had Jameis Winston and Auburn when they had Cam Newton. So it's basically you are a top seven team or you have a Heisman Trophy winner, but this top five certainly does look hard to beat once we get deep in the season. One more here for you, Michael. At least one college football playoff ranked team outside of the top 25 in the AP preseason poll will finish in the top 10. So a team that is not in the poll right now will end up in the top 10.
No doubt. There's always a sleeper team somewhere, just like there's always a team that goes, 91%? Of a team going from worst to first in the NFL that happens every year. But it's the same thing in college football. There's a team out there that's not ranked in the top 25 that's going to have a good players, they're going to have transfers, and they're going to be really good.
It's 28 of the last 30 years that an unranked team in the preseason.
I'll go with those odds.
I don't blame you. Last year it was the Missouri Tigers, by the way, who ended up having an 11-win season, having a great major bowl win as well. You know, producer Elliott's stoked about it. They had a preseason top 25, number 11 ranking, which I thought was saying a lot about the respect for them. And I know yesterday when we had Dave Shumate on the program talking about Missouri's schedule, they could be pretty good this year. I just wonder who that team from the outside looking in could be.
Yeah, that's the one you just don't know. But I mean, it's because we don't get preseason football and we don't know everybody, there could be a team, you know, it's just somebody out there. Is it Indiana who took the best player from the MAC conference at quarterback? Could they take somebody? I'm not saying they will. I haven't studied them. But to me, it's going to be somebody like that. Somebody that hits with the transfer.
You know who I don't think it is? And please, Coach Prime's social media team, don't pull this for a video later on. But
it's definitely
not going to be Colorado.
It ain't Colorado. Colorado's going to be holding on.
Just had to throw that out there. I do hope and pray it could be my San Diego State Aztecs, but that's unrealistic as well. Although I've got excitement for Sean Lewis.
I love Sean.
Yes.
I love Sean. I hope he does a great job there.
I've got excitement for Sean Lewis. I mean, speaking of the tie to Colorado, there we go. But also the fact that San Diego State, baby, they're going to have an actual quarterback playing quarterback, not a safety. What a time to be alive. All right, we're gonna take a quick time out here. When we come back, Mike Palm is going to join us for the final half hour. We'll talk all things Circus Survivor, NFL preseason, and Palm's Pressing Three.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rolling along on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. We welcome into the program now VP of Operations here at Circa, the D, Golden Gate, also known all around the country, VSiN host, Mike Palm. What's up?
Where's Michael at? That's a totally different background.
Got a new shot today. We're testing it out.
Well, I am at NFL Films. I'm here. I've been here for 2 days, and it's great, Mike. There's no place like NFL Films to look at these pictures of coaches and players and all the stuff that's going on. And it's been a tremendous experience for me. It really is.
Are you going to start doing the voiceovers? Are you going to become the voice of the NFL?
I've been doing my inner John Facenda. Yes, I have. I have been working on that diligently, but it's so good to be here. And you know, I've got a Super Bowl trophy next to me over here. I got all these books. So eventually we'll get it set up. It'll look really good.
Michael, I'm impressed you have a voice at all after all the work that you were doing in Seattle, too. So just the fact that you're here is amazing.
Yeah, well, today is the last day of it, and tomorrow you may not hear a word from me. I might sleep the entire day, Stormy. I'm about at that point right now because, you know, we're burning the candle with both. Yeah. It feels like the middle of the season, but look, there's no better time than this. We're trending towards the greatest day in Ocean City, which is Labor Day when everybody goes home. I can't wait for that. Love that. Everybody goes back to Philadelphia, back to where they live. The town empties out, get to enjoy it, and we get football.
You know, Facenda was otherworldly on the films, but, you know, Harry Callis did a lot of work for NFL films, too, the longtime Phillies announcer. Yeah. He was also tremendous.
Yeah. When I worked on the show on Inside the NFL for a couple of years, we were always stationed here. And actually, this office that I'm in was the last office I had before I went and took the general manager's job at the Cleveland Browns. And Callis was, you know, before he had come through here, and I got to listen to him. But, you know, when you listen to these guys talk in just the conversation, you can't stop listening because you're like expecting the autumn wind to come into you. You know, it's just so good.
I love that. As you talk too about like burning the candle at both ends and it already feeling so much like football season, we're starting week two of the NFL preseason today and coming out next week. The Circa Survivor docuseries is coming out here. I wonder if we'll have some narration like that in that series. But we just saw VSiN release kind of the trailer earlier today. I know I'm a small part of it, but what was that like for you to be a part of it and see Circa on display with this contest?
Well, it was a lot. A lot went into it because the availability, they filmed almost every week of the year. There's so much done before the contest starts to cast a wide net and hope some of those people you interviewed in July and August make a run. Mm-hmm. And they're still in at week 12 and week 15 in that. So, and then constantly, you know, almost every week, Derek and I would give updates where we were at, talked about the different crazy characters that we met through the course of filming it. So we think it's pretty special. This is the first of the five episodes that encompass season one. You know, I there were rumors, I can't really verify, but rumors that there were several outlets that, you know, were offering big bucks, you know, seven figures for the right to distribute this. But Bill 80, who's much like Cardinal Richelieu, somehow got his hands on this to be a VSiN exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, so let's update. The Survivor and the Millions contest, where we are August, the 14th, 15th? Yeah, we're halfway through August. Where are we?
Yeah. So yesterday on the 14th, sometime between 8 and 9 in the morning, we officially hit 6 million between the two contests. Now, Survivor's still trending up 19%. I think we'll get to 11 million. We'll go through the $10 million guarantee. Really flat on Millions. Mm-hmm. Really, really flat. I think we might fall short of the 5.3, have another overlay. I would predict it's closer to 5 than 5.3. I hope I'm wrong, but Derek might have to kick in a million out of his pocket to get to the 6.
If you are somebody who has not gotten involved in this contest before, you're interested in what it's all about, we've got a little teaser we can play for you now for this docuseries coming out August 19th, 6 p.m. Pacific, only here on VSiN. Take a look.
Here at Circa, we've got the world's largest sports book, and to go along with it, we've got the world's largest legal football contest.
I flew 3,000 miles for one day for the Circa Survivor Pool.
For only $1,000, anybody can enter.
Let me give these guys my cash.
It's not as simple as it looks.
Week 13 in NFL Survivor was absolute carnage.
All 10 entries right there on Jacksonville.
It's 18 weeks. It's over 200 games.
From the point in time in August when people are flying in, watching the sweats, watching the chase.
Let's go! Let's go! We survived. We're ready for last week.
I'm actually closer to the $9 million than I thought.
Why would I chop if I have the biggest edge? I'm very confident in what's happening.
You're talking about life-changing money.
Somebody's going to win a big check. I'd be happy to give it to you.
2023 Circus Survivor. Let's have some fun on this journey.
Looks awesome. Again, exclusively on VSiN and X coming up next week. So Monday, first episode of how many, Mike?
Five.
Five episodes? Yeah. Okay. Also, a good reminder while we're talking Survivor, though, that you do not just have to be a Las Vegas resident to sign up for Survivor or Millions. You can do it from anywhere in the country. You sign up in person here, but if you get a proxy service, you can do everything, make all of your picks throughout the course of the year. The preferred proxy partner of VSiN, Winner's Circle Proxy. Head to winnerscircleproxy.com. Get signed up today. Do everything that you can. Make an appointment, get it ready. Mike, you're looking at me funny. You know what I'm talking about.
You're so natural with these reads. How you just, it's amazing.
Mike, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think the Survivor gets so much overlay that the Millions lags behind, when the Millions you can win first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter? You even get money if you lose. They have the worst record. And then, you know, I know picking five is hard, but tell me why you think people prefer. They just think Survivor's easier. See, I think the Millions is easier than Survivor.
Well, Michael, it reminds me of Bill Mott, who trained the great Cigar. And we love horse racing even more now here on VSiN. And Mike Somich and Patrick's giving out plays on every day now. I was on with him and Dustin yesterday. They hit a couple horses at Saratoga. Anyhow, when Cigar got beat in the Pacific Classic at Del Mar, it ended his 16-race win streak. Bill Mott came up and he said, there's a million ways to lose a race, but there's only one way to win it. Which is to Michael's point about there's only one way to win Survivor, mm-hmm. right? You got to make it till the end. There's actually 153 different payouts in the Millions. But I think there's somewhat of a feeling, Michael, that the Millions is for the pro players, because they look up and they say, wow, 71% won it. How could I pick 71%? I'm trying to pick 55% winners. How can I pick 70% winners? But you make a great point. You just got to get hot for 4 or 5 weeks and hope it's the start to the end of a quarter. You can pick up $300,000. You know, you go 18-2 or even 17-2-1. You cash in those quarters. You cash if you have a really bad quarter. But Survivor on its face seems so simple, right? And I think the beauty of the contest is when you lose, it's always some ridiculous circumstance that happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The quarterback got hurt in the middle of the game. You know, my team had 4 turnovers. There was terrible weather. Something freakish happens. So when you get knocked out, you have to feel like, oh, what a bad beat, if only. And you can't wait to get in it next year. Like, when people at the end of the Millions aren't saying, God, I wish the season would start so I could make 5 picks every week again.
Well, and like you said, too, that it's yes, you can go on a hot streak for a short amount of time, but if you're on a really bad cold streak as well, that you can reap the rewards of that as well. You get a payout for the booby.
I think the math of it, too, Michael, as people like advance and they get down to 100 people, how do you monetize your ticket? People now selling shares of tickets, betting money line parlays of your opponent's picks, not just the straight hedge against your pick by betting the opponent. It's fascinating, the math and the game theory of it as well.
Can you share real quickly a little bit more about like the groups that are getting in on these things too? Because it's like 10 entries per person, but you're getting a lot of people together.
Well people come together and maybe they have, you know, 4 guys and they end up, they come and they buy 20 entries or something like that. Or, you know, you get you get 5 or 6 guys and buy the max and be partners. I met a guy, he came out here. He's a dentist from Michigan. He said, we got 10 guys together. I said, oh, how many entries are you getting? He said, well, one, we each put in $100. Who gets to make the pick? They're doing Survivor. I mean, this could lead to a lot of contention. I do want to sort of dispel the myth, though, that like one person controls 150 entries. That's total nonsense. You saw Bill Krakenberger in the promo here for the documentary say all 10 of his entries, not all 140 of his entries. People come up and they say, I can't beat Bill Krakenberger. I only have 10 entries and he has 200. Well, that's nonsense. He doesn't have 200 entries. I just want to put that on the record.
Yeah, I think that's right, Mike. I think to me, well, all bettors are braggers. We know that. And look, you know, to me, it comes down to being the champion. I still think Millions, I know 71% is hard. I know that. I get that. But you can get hot, and all you have to do is avoid that 1 in 4 week.
I'm still just taken aback by Dennis having 10 people together on one entry. Like, legitimately, how are you going to agree on that one team, that one game?
Wes Reynolds and Parles would spend 5 hours arguing about their 5 picks.
Good luck. Palms pressing 3 to close out today's Lombardi Line. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing.
You know, Miller told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, what are the hot button topics today? Let's do this.
Well, there's no hot button topics. They're just good football questions for someone with Michael Lombardi's background. Michael, why do you believe that teams allow players to, quote, sit in while not incurring the daily fines for missing camp, i.e. CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, etc.? I know you have been critical of the Jets as an organization, but don't you feel they are the only team that is actually doing it right by allowing the fines to be charged to Reddick?
Well, they are doing it right. It wasn't what they planned to do. They had no choice but to fine Reddick. He wanted a contract, and I'm sure Woody Johnson said, we're going to fine him. Mike, the NFL's gone soft. I mean, let's put it in. I mean, these owners, 32 of them negotiated a settlement with the players to go over to make sure we didn't have holdouts, that we weren't annoying Stormy and talking about contracts all summer. We were talking about the game. And yet, because of these sit-ins, the agents have manipulated it. Now, a lot of it is combined because of the PR, right? Most general managers are so PR conscious, they don't want to upset the ranks, or somebody's mad at them. And the owners are very liberal in their ability. They don't want it to think it's going to disrupt the team. I think it's about strength. I think you have to show strength. The players are trying to demonstrate strength. Look, this is not, we don't want the player. The Ayuk has been wanted by the 49. This is, we can't agree on a contract. This is a business. And the business has rules that were so good for non-holdouts. Look, to me, here's what I would say. If I were running an NFL team, I would say to Matt Judon, I would say to Brandon Ayuk, look, we will negotiate with you to continue to do a deal. You got to practice. You got to prepare for the season. We're not going to sit here and comp you room, food, and beverage and hope you play the slot machine. We're just not going to do that. But we will negotiate with you. We'll give you days off. We'll take care of your body, all those things. But you got to practice. You got to play. You got to do those things. If you want to sit out, then you're going to get fined. You make the choice.
Michael's answer really leads into my second question.
I know, which, as Michael said, and then we'd stop annoying Stormy, we're tripling down on the Brandon Ayuk conversation. Let's hear it.
Speaking of Stormy's hero, Mr. Ayuk, Michael, if he truly wanted to leave San Francisco, wouldn't he have done so already? Three teams wanted him. Two have offered him big bucks, and yet he still hasn't left. Shouldn't the 49ers just call his bluff?
They have already. They've called it. And at some point, you got to say to him, look, either you start practicing Monday before, after our preseason Sunday night game against the Saints, or, you know, we're going to trade you. You know, at some point, you just look, all this indecisiveness, it's a little bit like those 10 people that signed up for Survivor. They're never going to win it. They're never going to win. You know, you ask a lot of people, you're going to get a lot of bad answers.
Poor Dennis catching strays.
If you don't put deadlines on it, it's impossible.
I said poor Dennis catching strays, Michael. But yeah, my thing with Ayuk and this whole situation is he has just continued to lose leverage every step of the way, because you're admitting that the money is not, for as important as it is, it's clearly not the most important thing, because you're not accepting money from a team that has offered you more than anyone else would.
I agree. It sets precedent, too. Like, yeah. How do you deal with it? Look, there's some players that can set precedent. They're too good. You want to work around it. But there's some players that, all of a sudden now I got everybody coming in. Look, here's the thing. You need rules. Every team that operates as a team, every family that operates, they have rules. Everybody's got to adhere to them. They're for everyone. If you don't want to come here and you don't want to be a part of the team, that's fine. This is what your CBA negotiated. And as a fiduciary duty to the team, I have to enforce these rules. That's my job, just like it's your job. But if you come here and I let you just have a cocktail, have lunch, have dinner, get you a nice massage, all those things, you know, I'm the one who loses.
All right. Third question is involving J.J. McCarthy, Michael. How much does his season-ending meniscus injury affect the Vikings' future? And I say this because their head coach and their GM, both contracts are done at the end of next year. Should he have had the minor meniscus injury, he could have been back in 6 weeks and could have been part of the day-to-day operations of the team. But because it's the major, he won't be back till minicamp next year, and that stunts a whole year of his development. How big of a blow is this to the future of the whole organization?
Well, let's just put things in perspective. This organization that has their GM and their head coach in the last years of the deal, we're planning on playing Sam Darnold all along. I think this actually helps their team, not hurts their team, because now they're no longer, people are going to be calling for J.J. McCarthy, and Darnold's going to play tense, and Darnold's going to play scared. Now Darnold knows that, you know, Nick Mullins ain't coming to get my job. Nick Mullins ain't their future. I'll play good. I'll do what I have to do. I'm playing for another contract. I think if you're Kevin O'Connell, I think you've put enough good stuff on tape to know that you're going to be a head coach in the NFL and that someone's going to hire you. And just because you don't have a contract done right now, that doesn't mean it's not going to get done. Look, I think the Wolf family in Minnesota is very good. I think they understand things. Look, here's what they've did. And so we're clear. They decided, look, we're tired of being in cap hell. We're tired of being under a prisoner to Kirk Cousins. That came from the ownership. That didn't come from Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell wanted to sign Kirk Cousins. But when ownership says we're tired of this, that gives you stability. You know, here's what happened. Josh McDaniels goes into Las Vegas. The owner wants to get rid of Derek Carr. Derek Carr was on the owner's hit list going back to John Gruden. No coach would get rid of him. McDaniels gets rid of him. The problem is he did what the owner wanted, but he didn't have a backup plan. See, this is what happens. Whereas the Wolf family is fully supportive to getting a quarterback after the Cousins go. And I think that'll pay dividends for Kevin O'Connell and the general manager.
From a survivor perspective, Michael, do you think this rash of injuries with the Vikings this week makes the Giants a sneaky survivor pick in week one?
Here's what I would say to that. If you can do that, you got brass, you know what, because Daniel Jones against pressure is one of the worst quarterbacks in the National Football League. Daniel Jones against zero blitz pressure, speeding him up, not have to sack him, speed him up. Brian Flores leads the league in pressures. The matchup isn't great. Now, understanding that Sam Darnold is going to make mistakes too, and I could easily see the Giants winning this game, but I would have a hard time betting Daniel Jones against pressure. And this offensive line has not improved. If you consider that Jermaine Illuminor and Greg Van Roten, the starting right tackle and right guard for the Raiders, are now starting for the Giants. How do you call that improvement?
Near pick'em game, Giants a home dog of one sitting here, total 41.5 for that game. That would be an interesting pick, though, instead of just going for the big favorites, if you like the idea of just fading where they're at right now and that Daniel Jones will get off to a good start.
I am upset with myself because I let this number get away. But a month ago, the Vikings were 15-1 to be the last team to win a game. You could have bet that and then bet them against the Giants in week one, because after that, they're going to be a dog in their like next 8 or 9 games till they play Tennessee. And then who knows what that'll be. Michael, I got time for another one. Do you believe Kevin Stefanski has complete autonomy in Cleveland? Because I cannot believe that if he did, that Deshaun Watson would be his starting quarterback.
Of course he doesn't have complete autonomy. I mean, the Haslam family runs the team. They've always run the team. You know, and so, you know, they got Paul D. Podesto in the front office. I mean, this has always been a committee. You know, it's interesting, Mike, that David Tepper and Jimmy Haslam both served as minority owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when they both left those organizations, you know, Haslam to Pittsburgh, Tepper to Carolina, they didn't follow the Pittsburgh model at all. They haven't. No, this is truly, look, the reason they fired the coaches to bring new coaches in is because they're trying to make the quarterback. It's the same reason why the Giants keep firing coach. It's the same reason why Carolina signed all those offensive linemen. They know they need to try to protect their investment.
Michael, Bill Lady likes when I go rapid fire with you. So here's a question you got to answer. I'm running up against the wall, but how much do you glean from Bo Nix's performance in the first preseason game?
I think it just reinforces that Sean Payton's all in. Mm-hmm. He's all in on the kid. And all that performance did was convince other people he's good.
I thought you were going to get more. I thought we were rapid fire.
Well, no, well, I can't believe Michael answered in 7 seconds. So I wasn't ready for the audible there.
Well, as Mike Somich mentioned earlier on the show, Bo Nix currently available as high as 18-1, largely 14-1 out there for Offensive Rookie of the Year, if that is of interest for people.
I want to say this, Michael, for people, and it could be different from different books, but people who bet McCarthy Offensive Rookie of the Year, those bets are gone. Those are action. Right. But if you bet over yards, over touchdowns, those are refunds because he's not going to play a snap.
Good reminder there from the book's perspective.
Thank you, Mike.
For Mike Palm, Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sharp Money is coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.